Vaccines are not just for kids, and shots are never fun, no matter what your age. But according to a report by the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, the CDC, adults may dread them almost as much as children. Each year, 45,000 Americans die from vaccine-preventable diseases. And despite that, U.S. adults are not getting the immunizations they need. Well, joining us this morning to fill us in on what we need and why we're not getting these shots is Dr. Mitchell Brody, clinical professor of medicine and the chief of the medical section at Upstate University Hospital at Community General Hospital. Welcome, Dr. Brody. Thanks for coming in today. So adults in this country are not getting vaccinated. That's really kind of troubling and concerning. Why is that?
Right. Well, there are several reasons. One is a lot of it is physician-based. You know, the CDC says that every office visit should be an opportunity to immunize people. Which it's often not done. And I think in their training, pediatricians are very good immunizers of children. Family practitioners are very good immunizers of children. In family practitioners and internists are very poor overall immunizers of adults, although this trend has been changing over the last couple of years. And part of the reason is for adults, there really haven't been too many immunizations for adults. It's basically been tetanus, flu, and pneumococcal vaccine, but now we have more vaccines that are available for adults and indicated for adults, and physicians now are sort of getting updated on it.
Yeah, so it was a combination of both, maybe the fact that the vaccines weren't available, but also, is it possible that people as adults, if they're well, don't even go to doctors for regular visits?
Right, that's true, especially, for instance, for the HPV vaccine, which is the vaccine to prevent cervical cancer.
That's the human papilloma
virus? Yeah, HPV, human papilloma virus. Which is indicated in women between the ages of 9 and 26, and also in males between the ages of 9 and 26 for the prevention in women for cervical cancer, vaginal cancer, vulvar cancer, and anal cancer and genital warts, and for men for the prevention of genital warts and anal cancer precursors. The problem is that in that 19 to 26-year-old age group, people like that age don't go to the doctors. So the uptake for that vaccine, which is basically a pediatric vaccine with an adult catch-up in the pediatric age group, it's about 30% of women at any rate have gotten that vaccine. In the 19 to 26-year-old age group, it's about 10%.
That's really shocking, actually. And so it's almost like they've fallen through the cracks.
Right, they fall through the cracks. And then what happens is, you know, most people don't go to the doctors. You know, children have well-baby checkups. We don't have well big baby checkups. I mean, they're supposed to be the complete exam and people going in, but a lot of times, especially men, don't like to go to the doctor. And there's a lot of things that physicians have to do when people come in. You're supposed to screen them for depression, screen for falls, screen for this, you know, go through all the problems that they have. And very often the immunizations is sort of the last thing that's available and doesn't get covered. Whereas now I think with electronic medical records, you know, if you set your program up right, you can see what people need. There are reminders. There are things that can help the physician to remind patients to do it. So also if the vaccines are expensive. Sometimes physicians don't want to order them in. They're afraid that people won't use them, that they'll be stuck with them. A lot of it is patient-based too. You know, vaccines is is a very large anti-vaccination movement in this country and the world. You know, it dates back to the first vaccine against smallpox. And vaccines are perceived to be powerful because they're shots. If you perceive them to be powerful, people also perceive them to be unsafe because there may be all these things in them. And then you have the anti-vaccination movements that, you know, create these stories, and there's a lot of media hype, and people like to pick up on all these things, and people like to give equal voice to both sides of the story, even if one side of the story is
fallacious.
Is fallacious, right.
And that's problematic. I think there's we've had other people on our show where we've talked, pediatricians in particular, where we've talked about all the problems that have arisen with people avoiding vaccines and the whole issue of herd immunity,
right.
That we're losing herd immunity for certain diseases. I think whooping cough being one.
Right. And now we have the whooping cough vaccine is not just for children either. We have the new tetanus vaccines that have been available for about 4 or 5 years also contain pertussis in it.
And whooping cough.
Which is whooping cough. And up until recently, the CDC made a recommendation because the vaccine was only approved for people under the age of 65. Recently, one of the vaccines was approved for people over the age of 65. And now the CDC has recommended that adults 65 and over also get the pertussis vaccine. It's especially important for parents or grandparents or anybody who's around infants who are under the age of one who are the highest risk for to die from whooping cough if those people, those infants, be cocooned and the adults need to do it. The same thing happens with influenza vaccine. Infants under the age of 6 months cannot be vaccinated. They need to be protected. The source of pertussis or influenza is going to most likely going to be a family member. So even if you don't
caregiver,
you don't perceive yourself at risk for influenza because you're 32 years old and you think that you're immortal, which you're not. You know, you may pass it off to your grandmother. I mean, even though your grandmother gets those shots, your grandmother is unable to mount a immune response because she's old, and you are going to pass that virus on to her.
So overall, all in all, immunizations are crucial and they are safe. And this idea of people worrying about them not being safe is really a lot of misinformation and fear mongering.
Right, it's fear. It's also, you know, it's prejudice, sort of, in a sense, it's prejudice. Prejudice is really ignorance and fear. So people, you know, are ignorant of the dangers of the diseases, ignorant of the relative risks of vaccines. You know, people hear, well, people have had, you know, people have died after they got the flu vaccine, or they've died after they've gotten the HPV vaccine.
And well, they link it as being
right,
causal.
Right, the answer to that is my wife, okay, 1 week after she got her first swine flu shot, won a $1,000 scratch off. Okay, coincidence? Perhaps. Okay.
Right.
Okay. 3 months after, she won a second $1,000 scratch off. Okay. Now, there may be or not be a cause and effect relationship, but post hoc ergo propter hoc, what comes after is caused by before is one of those faults in logic.
It's funny that it makes me think that perhaps one of the goals should be for the PR campaign for vaccines is to publicize just that. Concept.
Right, exactly.
No,
right.
The concept that they could win the lottery.
Right. Oh, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I wanted to give a free scratch off with every the state. It would be perfect with every vaccine flu shot.
Well, I'm going to ask you to hold that thought because we have to take a quick break, and we'll be right back with more from Dr. Brody. So please stay with us. Back to HealthLink on Air. Linda Cohen along with Dr. Mitchell Brody, and we're talking about adult immunizations, what we need and what we need and what they are going to be protecting us against. So Dr. Brody, let's begin with the basics. In the first half we talked about the fact that a lot of people aren't getting vaccinated and all the reasons why. You know, they're afraid of them, there's prejudice against them, et cetera, et cetera. But the CDC, the Centers for Disease Control, really has kind of a routine schedule that they recommend for all adults. So help us understand what are those vaccines?
So for adult vaccines, there are several. I'll go through them one at a time.
Sure.
So the influenza vaccine is the first one. When we get that yearly, there's actually four forms. There's a shot in the arm that goes subcutaneous. One shot in the arm. There's another shot that you can get actually just into the skin, the superficial layer of the skin, which is a smaller volume. It tends to cause a little more itching, a little bit less pain. There is a higher potency vaccine for people 65 and over that has four times the amount of antigen in it, which causes double the amount of the antibody reaction.
So it strengthens the response.
It strengthens the response. Whether or not it will lead to a lower influenza in the elderly still remains to be seen, but that's also available. And then you have the live attenuated nasal vaccine.
So why would someone choose any of those? First of all, I think it's important, and I know that you've mentioned this to me before, that everyone needs to get vaccinated annually because the strains.
Right, it's indicated for everybody. Change. Everybody over the age of 6 months, the strains do change. People will say, well, you know, sometimes it doesn't match, and that's why I don't want to get it because it's not always there, and that's true. But on the other hand, your chances are zero of it working if you don't get it. And for the most part, you know, things are a good match. And so far this year, it's a good match. And I might add that in central New York, we're just starting to see influenza. So it's not too late to get the influenza vaccine.
Even now, it's not too late. Right. And it generally does have a positive impact on the spread of influenza.
Right, it does. And again, there's that herd immunity concept. The more people that get vaccinated, the less influenza that there is. And young, healthy people think that they're young and healthy and immortal, but you know, 2 years ago when we had the swine flu, the first swine flu outbreak,
H1N1.
The H1N1 people, the people who were on ventilators and the people who were dying were people in their 20s and 30s.
Wow.
Because what kills you
right.
is your immune response, and people who are young and healthy have a very healthy immune response.
So the message is for flu, get the shot
every year. Right, get
yeah.
the shot. People make up all these excuses about this and about that, but you know, if for most people, if they told you if you took the flu vaccine, you'd lose 10 pounds and you had a 50% risk of death, okay, people would be taking the vaccine.
I think that's
so
great.
People make up all these reasons why not to
get it. Right. Okay. So just one quick thing about that, though. The four different ways of getting the vaccine, are any more effective than others, or is it just your doctor's choice?
No, they're all basically about, it's all basically the same thing.
Okay. And then what about we talked earlier in the break about the tetanus and the whole idea of pertussis coming back with kids. So what's that vaccine that's available?
So that's Tdap, tetanus, diphtheria, and acellular pertussis, to differentiate it from the whole cell pertussis vaccine, which reportedly had more side effects. So this is a vaccine that's now indicated for adults. It's given in adolescents. It's also given to all adults. We've had a mini outbreak in central New York of pertussis, so it's advised that people are seeing their doctors that they get it. For now, it's one. Whether there'll ever be another need for a booster is open to question.
But people should start now, even if they've had something in childhood.
Well, yes, that's a good question, because the natural immunity from pertussis lasts for about 9 years. So even if you've had pertussis in childhood, does not mean that you're immune to it for forever. And the most important people again are women, pregnant women. If they haven't had it before pregnancy, they can get it, you know, at the end of pregnancy. If they don't want to get it then, they should give it before they leave the hospital. And again, I can't overemphasize that parents, grandparents, significant others, uncles, aunts who are going to be around the new baby should get it.
And any caregivers who may not be related.
Right, exactly. Any caregivers to that baby. You're trying to cocoon that infant. Same thing with influenza.
Right. Okay, so you also mentioned before the break, in the beginning of our talk together, about the HPV, which is the human papillomavirus. And from my experience, being part of the lay population, I've seen it mostly advertised for young girls.
Right.
And you mentioned boys. So.
Right. So it's been approved for boys for a couple of years, but the CDC, when they make up their schedule, made it a permissive vaccination for boys, saying it's indicated, you can give it if you want it, but they didn't put it on the schedule. And the rationale behind that was that they felt it would be more cost-effective to just vaccinate girls, and that if you got 80% vaccination rate in girls, then the herd immunity would take care of the boys. The problem with that is after four or so years, the immunization rate among girls is still about 30%, so that's not happening. And the other thing, it doesn't take into effect that boys may not only have sex with girls at some time in their life, they may also have sex with other little boys. So that's the second problem. It doesn't take care of MSNs, men who have sex with men, who are increased in risk for anal cancer.
So this is really effective for both men and women, for both sexes.
It's effective. So, and you know, genital warts don't kill you, but for a lot of people, it makes them feel, wish they were dead. It's not great to get. You know, they can be difficult to treat. I mean, they have to be either burned off or cut off or chemically abraded off.
So what are state the ages for the HPV.
For HPV, it's indicated for males and females between the ages of 9 and 26. It's a age-based vaccine, not a risk-based vaccine. It has to be given before people get exposed to the virus. Doesn't mean it's not going to work after people have become sexually active, because it's rare for people to have been exposed to all four viruses, but it works best if you give it before people have started having sex. That's why it's a pediatric vaccine.
For the most part, but then get back to your earlier point, was that if people who are no longer seeing their pediatrician, who are otherwise
right,
healthy,
exactly,
might not even think that they'd be a candidate
right,
for this
so
vaccine.
Now, right, exactly. So now the CDC put it on the routine schedule for boys up to the age of 21. So I figured they would get them through college and whatever, and that's it. So, and then it's permissive again for the older male age group.
Okay. When you mean that a doctor can choose to give it to somebody above the age of 21.
But it's still indicated you can choose to give it. The only difference between the CDC making it, if it's approved by the ACIP, which is the Advisory Committee on Immunization Practices, it's more likely that insurance companies will
pay
for it.
Oh, so it's a money issue.
It's money.
Okay, let me go on because I don't want to run out of time. Tell me about the zoster, this whole thing. I mean, you're always hearing about people having a case of shingles that puts them really down and makes them miserable.
Right, this is one of the best and most underutilized vaccines that's out there. What shingles is, herpes zoster, is basically the chickenpox virus that you have when you're a kid, which 99.3% of people in America have had as kids, and then later on in life, it reactivates.
So it's basically dormant in your system.
It lies dormant, right. It sits in the cells in your spinal cord, in the nerve cells. And then sometime later on in life, for no good reason, sometimes there's a good reason because your immune system is compromised because of medicines or you get sick with cancer, but other times for no good reason, it just comes out. And it causes a painful rash with blisters because it's like a nerve pain because that's basically where the virus is. It can be on your chest. It can be on your stomach. And 15% of the time, it can be on your face. It can affect your eye.
And it's miserable.
And it's miserable. And the most miserable part about it is usually within a week or two, the rash goes away and the pain goes away. But in a lot of people, the pain can go on for days, weeks, months, or years, and that's called postherpetic neuralgia, which can be very difficult to treat.
Okay, so what I want to make sure is that the point here, though, is if you get the zoster vaccine as an adult, that prevents the shingles from coming?
So if you get the shingles vaccine as an adult, it's indicated now for all people over the age of 50 if they don't have a contraindication to the vaccine. It's on the ACIP, the CDC schedule for people 60 and above. There are reasons for why they didn't make it on the 50, but it's mostly a question of supply and demand and economics. But it reduces, in the 60 and above, it reduces your chances of getting shingles by 50%, and it reduces your chances of getting the postherpetic neuralgia by another 40%.
So it's a pretty good vaccine.
So it's pretty good. So it's, you still may get it. If you do get it, you know, it's still going to be less severe than if you hadn't gotten the vaccine.
Right.
And the uptake for that has really only been about 10%.
Yeah, it's an underused vaccine. Let me get to a couple more. Meningococcus, I know, is very serious, and you can get a vaccine for that.
Right, there's a vaccine for that. It's mostly indicated in adults. It's adults, it's young adults going off for their first year in college.
Meningitis.
And it's indicated for people who don't have spleens for one reason or another, and for travelers to foreign countries in sub-Saharan Africa, which is called the meningitis belt.
Okay, real quick, because again, I don't mean to cut you off, but I just don't want, I want to get all this.
Right.
It's very important. How about pneumococcus? I mean, basically people get pneumonia. This vaccine can prevent that?
Right, it reduces your chances of getting severe pneumonia. I won't go into detail, but it reduces your chances. It's indicated everybody 65 and over. If it's below 65, you need some risk to predispose you to getting pneumococcus in your blood.
So what about hepatitis A and B? Because I know that's been very much more popularized lately.
Right. In adults, for hepatitis A, it's really, really, really indicated for people with chronic liver disease, men who have sex with men, and travelers to countries where there's a high incidence of hepatitis A, which is basically the developing world. Hepatitis B, again, same thing, people with chronic liver disease or people who are traveling or people who may be exposed to blood and body fluids in one way, shape, or form. And the CDC recently recommended it for all diabetics between the ages of 19 and 60.
Well, there's so much to think about, but your major point here, and I can hear it very clearly, is talk to your doctor and ask about what vaccines are right for you. Don't think just because you're an adult you don't need to get vaccinated.
Right, exactly. If your doctor doesn't bring it up, you bring it up to your doctor.
Well, thanks so much. My guest has been Dr. Mitchell Brody, clinical professor of medicine, chief of the medical section at Upstate University Hospital at Community General. We have to take another short break, but we'll be right back with more HealthLink on air. I'm Linda Cohen, and this is FM News Radio 106.9 and 570 WSYR.